Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. Now, more this week as we continue to look at the critical need for spiritual discernment within the body of Christ. But before I get going, if you would like a copy of anything that I have taught over this teaching on spiritual discernment or any teaching from this year or last year, all you have to do is give me a call at 910-382-9287 or email me at charliegolf1@outlook.com. That's charliegolf1. All one word, at outlook.com, that we can have a talk. I will answer any questions you may have and get your desired teachings right out to you. Amen? Okay, back to the critical need for spiritual discernment within the body of Christ. Now, last week I ended talking about how Jesus and Paul never compromised the truth, never backing down from speaking the truth in love. And why? Well, Jesus and Paul and others knew if they allowed people to continue to preach error or live in sin, not only would that eventually harm other Christians, but it would be putting an affirmation upon the one who is teaching or proclaiming error or in sin. Now listen, my friend, silence is compliance. Let me say that again. Silence is compliance. Sadly, the church for way too long has been silent to the spiritual and the moral issues of our days, like sodomy and lesbianism and transgenderism and, oh my God, abortion. Oh, because they have been silenced by the liberal politicians who, through fear, have marginalized churches to compromise the truth of the Word of God. And at the same time, a lot of churches have compromised the truth of the Word of God on these issues, and even more out from their, you ready? Their own greed. Well, wow. They say, what will people say if we come out and share what the Scriptures really say? Oh, no. We will compromise the truth, they say, of God's Word and make people feel okay with their sinful lives. You know, often we may not mean to do something or realize what we are doing. But I say, sadly, most denominations and churches today who embrace such ungodly and filthy behavior know exactly what they are doing. And why? Because they have put it in writing and they make their people swear to it. But to embrace a fellow Christian in their sin, especially when they have no intention of turning from it, is actually to affirm their sin. This is why Christ, Paul, and other disciples insisted that things dealing with Christian conduct and Christian integrity and Christian character be dealt with in the church. You know, if you're getting comfortable helping someone destroy themselves, and that keeps them deceived and eventually endangers not only the church, but it also endangers the body of Christ, you know not what you're doing, my friend. Just look at the false teachings, the word of faith, and all of the false prosperity doctrines that are taught around the world and cause loss and destruction and death to the body of Christ globally. Now, don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I have personally seen the death these false teachings have spawned over five continents. And of course, I'm not talking about the petty doctrinal distinctions or the usual failings that we can commit each day. Oh no, I am talking about a person who is teaching error that corrupts the spiritual life of the church, about sins that are open and deliberate, and where there is no intention of repentance, because it will cost them their livelihood. Jesus gives the steps to deal with such cases as these. In Matthew 18, 15, and 17, Jesus shares this. Now, this is step one. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. But if he will not hear thee, here's step two, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear thee, step three, tell it to the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be thee as a heathen and a publican. Wow. As a publican. The third step is where people are told they're no longer welcome in the church, and is, you know, only done after every attempt has been made to help and restore the offending party. I will tell you from personal experience, this is a very messy process, and it is my personal experience that step two and three are seldom used, not because there was reconciliation between the two parties, but because the accuser takes the moral high ground and goes right to step three. You know, this never works, my friend. Of course, if shunned and separated, they can be accepted back if they repent. But if not, I cannot think of anything worse in this situation than to go through the turmoil and tell someone or a family that they have to leave the church, only to accept them back without repentance. If we do this, and I've seen this happen, we are violating every standard for the church that God has established. And we will reap what we sow, I promise you. As I said, this is really a messy situation. And I can say this honestly because I have been on both sides. Wow, I have been on both sides of the issue. But never miss this point here. These measures are taken out of love. Out of love. It is not love, you know, to help others continue in error or in sin. No, it's not. Even if our so-called help is a passive one, it is not love to watch others destroy themselves and do nothing because we do not want to offend them or make them angry. Sadly, most churches today do not want to offend church members over scriptural, you know, positions on the social and moral issues of the day. Obviously, in these cases, leadership is often responsible and must make sure that they are right and they have the right heart condition. The Bible teaches this as well. Yes, it does. You know, Karen and I were charter members of a grassroots organization called OPAWS, or Onslow Protect Our Students, to stop Shift North Carolina from spreading pedophilia and homosexual material under the pretense of sexual abstinence in the Onslow County school system. We stopped them graveyard dead once we got the churches involved, but there was a number of Baptist churches in town that resisted our message. A pastor and his associate pastor of a big Baptist church who, you know, were also charter members, spoke behind our backs at meetings when we were not there to say things and do things, and they did this to the point that we just had to walk away. They were more concerned about how their church would be viewed than they were about righteousness and the truth according to the Word of God. They were more concerned about their denomination and their money and their people, because they told us that. And what will people in the community think about our church, you know? Well, I would say they would think that they're not a righteous church if they do things like that. And so we told them so before we resigned. Sometimes you just have to walk away from ungodliness. Let me say that again. Sometimes you just have to walk away from ungodliness. And that's what we did. We walked away from ungodliness. And that's the way that ended. But God did a work there in OPAWS and stopped that ungodliness that was going to try to get into the school systems. So this has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous week to come. And the Lord is working in your life. I mean, there's nothing more important in your life than have God working in your life, that you come and know the truth of the Word of God and come to know that wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next week as we continue looking more at the critical need for spiritual discernment within the body of Christ. Amen.